with an anticipation. You know, it's so easy to enter into a sermon, if we're not careful, with an attitude of, let's hope he's quick, because I'm really looking forward to the buffet. let's just hope he'll press on now. Come on now. We know that you're Welsh, and the Welsh have a reputation. But please, press on quickly now, that we can get to the good stuff. My friends, I'm trusting this morning that what I'm going to share is the good stuff. Amen. I'm going to share the Word of God, and I think this is the key, that we should always enter into the Word of God with an expectation, you know. Really, entering into the Word of God, you know, men and women died for this Word. You know, they died to so that they would be faithful to this Word. This Word of God, we can take it for granted so easily if we're not careful. And it's very important that we don't take it for granted, because if we take it for granted, it loses, the gift then becomes normal. The treasure of this Word of God, the food of heaven, becomes normal to us. And it should never be normal in that natural sense. This is always a supernatural book. This is more than just that which is ordinary and normal. This is, in fact, the Word of God. And so we enter in to this morning. You know, there was an observation that I was reading about during the week when I was considering this morning. And it came from a man that I've read several books by, an interesting man called A.W. Tozer. And he made a great insight, I think, into what he classified as the Old Cross and the New Cross. I'm going to touch on some of his words as I begin here this morning. He wrote this. He says that there came in modern times a new cross into popular evangelical circles. It's like the old cross, but different. The likenesses are superficial, the differences fundamental. From this new cross has sprung a new philosophy of the Christian life. And from that new philosophy has come new evangelical techniques. The new types of meetings and a new kind of preaching. This new evangelism, for example, employs the same language as the old, but its content is not the same. And its emphasis is not as before. You see, the truth is, dear friends, people across this country, you know, United Kingdom, say, well, you know, Christianity, you know, it's dwindling, less influential than it was before. Well, it's not the truth. Just not the truth. Around the world, huge numbers of people are finding the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is it that that's the perspective in the main, in this land? Well, it's because they've left the Word of God. Instead of being faithful to the truths revealed in Holy Scripture, they've gone their own way. They've said, oh yes, well, we'll have the Word of God, but you know, we'll just cut out the bits that we don't like. If something doesn't suit the way I think, then I'll just ignore that portion. And I'll just have a little, it'll be like a little snippet book of my favorite phrases. No wonder the gospel has lost its potency. They don't have the gospel. They have their favorite little truths. All that stuff which is unoffensive, usually. But the truth is, the gospel is an offense. Always has been an offense. And when a man or a woman is able to say, you know what, I want the truth. And I want it true. Please, give me the truth. Then they'll meet the truth. His name is Jesus Christ. But if they want things on their own terms, and they want their compromises, and they want their, they'll never meet the true God. They'll never meet the truth of Scripture. So it's not hard to understand why this has happened throughout this land. I'm convinced that the enemy promotes compromises to the top of the churches. And then that compromise will filter down. I believe it's a strategy of evil. The new cross encourages a new and entirely different evangelical approach. The evangelist, for example, doesn't demand turning from the old life before a new life can be received. No, he doesn't do that at all. No. Well, you know, people just wouldn't do it, would they? That message would be too hard. The new evangelist, he wants to give people that which they could understand and that which is acceptable to them. He doesn't want to give them a harsh truth. Even though it may be faithful to the Scripture, he doesn't want that. No, he's figured out something more alluring to offer. And so he seeks to key into public interest by showing that Christianity makes no unpleasant demands. Rather, what it does is it offers the same thing that the world does, it's just on a higher level. Is that okay? That's what he does. He just wants it to be just nice for everyone. And he wants to be liked. They offer the gospel as if it's theirs. As if, you know, they want everyone to like them. Oh, like me and like my message, please. Like a salesman, you know. You've gone into a car sales room, haven't you? You're buying a car or something like that, and oh, they're so friendly, those people. They're so nice. Oh, I've never met nicer people. Oh, they just everything they say is nice to me. Do you know, I like going in just to meet those people. If ever you're down, go and try and buy a car. You'll get all sorts of compliments. Lovely to see you. Oh, yes. You leave half an hour later, you feel on top of the world. They've showered you with all sorts of lovely words. And the new evangelists are sort of along the same lines. Go into a meeting like that, you go out, you'll feel like everything's great. But my dear friends, when someone goes to a doctor, do they really want the doctor always to give them a good report? Do they want the doctor to say, yes, you're fine, you're absolutely fine, your weight is perfect, your health is absolutely bang on, oh, you're tremendous, you're doing really well, you really are doing well, well done, all the very best, on your way now, we'll see you in the future, well done. Might it be better at times if that doctor were to say, listen, red alert, there are issues, you have to change this. If you listen to me now and take this warning, then things will be okay. You can avert this danger. But if you don't listen, there's going to be terrible things in the future. I mean, that's a real doctor, folks. That's a proper doctor. And the proper preacher is similar. The proper preacher must say the truth of the gospel. If he doesn't say the truth of the gospel, he's not a proper preacher. And if you go to a doctor and he's always saying good stuff to you, he's probably not a proper doctor. And God is the one who's giving us this stuff. This is from God. It's not man-made, it's God's truth. But for the new type of cross, whatever this sin-mad world happens to be clamoring after at this particular moment is cleverly shown to be the very thing the gospel offers. Only the religious product is better. So Jesus Christ and his gospel is offered as a sort of additive to everyday life. Not the radically transforming agent of life, but just, you know, a little additive. Does anyone know what Baraka is? They come in little orange tablets. And I think the adverts for Baraka say, it says something like, you, but on your best day. Something like that. Well, if that doesn't make you bite, what would? I think I'll have some of that. Yes, I'll buy those. It's me on my best day. Great. I'll have one of those in the morning. Well, that's the new gospel. It's you, but on your best day. That's what it is. Just an additive. Jesus Christ in his gospel is the sort of Baraka tablet to help you be the best you. The new cross doesn't slay the sinner. No, it redirects him. It gears him into a different way of living, but it saves his self-respect. To the self-assertive, it says, come and assert yourself for Christ. To the egotist, it says, come and do your boasting in the Lord. To the thrill seeker, it says, come and enjoy the thrill of Christian fellowship. The Christian message is slanted in the direction of the current vogue in order to make it acceptable to the public. And of course, when you happen to point this out to people, what they very often do is we'll say, well, you know, there are hundreds who disagree with you. Look, the church is full. Hundreds in the church. Thousands in some of them. But it's a church that's never preached on heaven or hell. It's a church that doesn't preach what Jesus preached. I mean, my dear friends, if I am a follower of Jesus, let's have a one-on-one. Look, if I am a follower of Jesus, to be truly a follower of Jesus, I must, as a consequence, preach what he told me to preach. If I'm a follower of Jesus, if I'm truly following Jesus, I ought to be familiar with what he preached, and I ought to be sharing that message. If I'm an ambassador, as Paul was an ambassador, surely it's that same message that I ought to be preaching. So how can it be that someone doesn't preach about heaven or hell? I mean, how could that be? I'll tell you how. I'll tell you how, and I'll make it very clear. They're like the good doctor. They're just the same as a good doctor. He'll only give you good news. Won't touch on the bad stuff. Won't touch on anything strong. Oh, no, we don't want anything strong. I don't want to put anyone off. I want them to like me, like me, like me. But let's not preach anything too strong. Let's not get too serious, please. You know, when I was in America, I realized the futility of seeing large buildings filled with people and using that as some sort of testimony to there being truth inside. Because up and down America, I found that the biggest growing church was the Mormon church. And the Mormon church is a radical delusion of things that you'd find it hardly credible that people could ever believe. But there it is, they believe it. In their desperateness, I think, to have fellowship with other human beings. Or whatever it is. But that says something for us then, who have the truth of the gospel of Jesus, who will have the truth of the gospel of Jesus and then want to win friends. And want to be friendly with people and want to share the truth of the gospel. Because, my friends, the truth is this. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. It's the gospel that does it. If you share the gospel with someone, then that person can respond to the gospel like nothing else on earth. And so the gospel is what we need to be sharing. The true gospel of Jesus. Paul writes in Philippians 3:18. Philippians 3:18. And he writes these words, and Philippians is a book that he writes from the heart. He says this: "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." And he's talking about people now who were known within church circles as being followers of Christ. And he says that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Many people today, you see, they accept the non-offensive Jesus, but it's not true. It's not the full gospel. Actually, they're enemies of the gospel. In truth, they are enemies of the gospel. And it could be so subtle. You know, sometimes people major on the minors. So they major. Their major thing is a minor subject. That's dangerous. It puts them in that type of classification. No, my friends, the gospel is what we should be preaching, the clear truth of the gospel, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness, and all that that pertains to. These are the things that we should be clear about. 1 Corinthians 1:17 and 18. Please come with me quickly as we read this. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For Christ did not send me," verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 1, "for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." You see, we live in times that are rational. The rational mind wants to understand everything. And if it doesn't understand everything, then it doesn't accept it. I was talking in the week to several ministers. I was so pleased that when I spoke with them about election and predestination, they were happy to accept. God has elected us. He has predestined us. Core New Testament subjects. I'm delighted to accept that, thrilled to accept that. That is, in fact, the gospel. That is part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you make a decision to believe? Yes, I did, when I was 15 years old. Thanks be to God. Ah, well, you made a decision. Yes. He drew me in, and by grace, I made that decision. What I'm saying is, intellect is the enemy of the gospel so often. Don't try and understand everything, just believe. God doesn't call us to understand, He calls us to believe. I don't understand how this light works, my friends. I have no idea. I mean, they put wires in and they do the... I mean, who knows? But I know that if I press the... usually it goes on. I don't need to understand it in order to receive the benefit from it. So it is with the gospel. We don't need to understand it all, but just accept it and receive the benefit. It's the same with many things in the New Testament. Same with the Trinity. You can go round and round in circles with people on the Trinity. But let's accept the Trinity. So, why is it then that the new cross has come in? Well, it's simply this, that the Bible truth has been eroded away from the doctrines of many churches. And so what's happened is people, instead of having the truth and preaching the truth from the Word, what's happened, people need to then preach something that's going to connect with people out there. And so this is the way that it goes. It goes along this watered down way, where in fact you miss out the truth, but what you do is you communicate stuff into people on an intellectual level to people. So Jesus becomes like the Barocca of the some people's belief systems. And the tragedy and the irony is this. If only people had been faithful to the Word, and if only people remain faithful to the Word, they find, in fact, that the real gospel is far more potent than that which they are trying to give to the people, which is potent. They're substituting the truth with something that is just a shadow. It's not true. It doesn't do what it says and what it promises. It's not the truth. And it doesn't have the potency in it. Because the real gospel is the thing that's filled with potency. In the real gospel, there is, for example, the reality of redemption. And if you give someone the false gospel, the new gospel, the Barocca gospel, they never receive the reality of redemption. Why? Because they're not focused on the Word and what the Word says. Let me share with you the reality of redemption. The reality of redemption, Christian redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. To really reap the benefits of reconciliation and the reality of this reconciliation, the reality of redemption, we've got to accept what the Word says. A new creation, old things are passed away. That's the reality of what the Word says. And in verse 20, Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Don't stay separated from God. Don't allow a separation to come into your consciousness. Be reconciled to God. Receive the gift that God has given, a gift called righteousness. I mean, the gospel, the new cross, which isn't the gospel, the new cross, so to speak, that we've been touching on, doesn't take these things on board. The potency of the truth of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's read it together. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that's why the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and deliverance, and freedom from bondage, health and healing as well for our bodies, because it's all provided in that new creation. You say, well, it doesn't always happen. Well, I don't know. It doesn't always happen. But what I do know is what the Word of God is telling me, that I am now a new creation. And yes, I'm in the mortal flesh. And yes, there's still sin. And yes, we're not perfect. But praise be to God for this reality. You know, the Apostle Paul said this when he was going around preaching. He said, for I determined to know nothing. He said this. Think of these words from 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What Paul was saying is this. The cross, the message of the cross, is so potent, is so powerful, that when he was preaching on his missionary trips, he determined that the cross was the only thing that he wanted to know. The cross of Jesus Christ was the only thing that he wanted to have on his lips and in his mind. He said he was determined. Not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because in Jesus Christ and him crucified is everything. So that in my life, when I'm living from day to day and I mess up, well, let's give an example. I don't know, I keep on thinking of cars and driving. But you're driving along the road and some young person, usually in a car, overtakes you just before a bend. And you think, what on earth is going on? And you have all sorts of thoughts running through your mind. And what happens is you become now aware of your frailty. The old man has kicked in, so to speak. The old woman has kicked in. And when the old man and old woman kick in, what happens is we become sin conscious. And the Christian church has been very effective at causing Christians to be sin conscious. In fact, this is one of the problems. Because on one hand, you have this new cross, which is wishy-washy stuff. On the other hand, you have the religion of Christianity, which is sin conscious. And you have a whole body of people going around so filled with the consciousness of their own sin that they're not particularly of much use as Christians, as the body of the redeemed. But Paul says he determined to know, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What he means by that is this. That instead of being sin conscious, we should be, like Paul, conscious of the cross of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Be conscious of Christ and his crucifixion instead of your sin. So when the young man has overtaken you and you've had thoughts that you wouldn't want to have and you're behind the steering wheel of your car, rather than feeling guilty all day long for those thoughts that you had, what you do is you determine to know Christ and his cross. And when you determine to know Christ and his cross, instead of being sin-focused, instead of being your weakness-focused, instead of being focused on the flesh and your failures and your sinful nature, what happens is you become focused on Jesus Christ and the victory that he purchased on the cross of Calvary. And that victory causes you and I to walk in the freedom and the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So instead of being sin conscious, instead of being aware of my failures and, whoa, what a terrible man I am. Oh, what a wretched person I am. I can't believe it. There I am. I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher of the gospel. And look, the truth of the matter is, I wanted to strangle that little rascal. And then living the rest of the week with a guilty complex. Instead of that, what I do is I look to Jesus and I say, thanks be to God, Jesus was crucified, and on that cross he took all of my sin, the scripture says. He took all of my sickness, all of my disease, everything that's wrong with me was taken by Jesus on the cross. That's why the Apostle Paul says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the victory of the potency of the real cross of Jesus. And without that, we're just living in a positive attitude delusion, which is weak and feeble. A positive attitude towards life. It's weak and it's feeble. But the cross of Jesus is the power of God unto salvation. Praise be to God. Oh, he's worthy to be praised this morning, isn't he? Listen, my friends, take the truth of the cross of Jesus. Don't accept any new type of cross. Don't accept any teaching that you listen to on the God channel or whatever channel it is on the TV. Some of it might be good, but listen, my friends, don't stray from your Bible. Don't stray from your Bible. Don't stray from your prayer closet. Don't stray from your relationship with God. Because your relationship with God and the Word of God, when you really get the Word delivered to you, will feed you and cause you to grow in the reality of your redemption. Praise be to God forevermore. Let's close this service by singing praise to him.
Amen, church. From the back of that, could we just kind of give a praise, a clap offering unto the Lord? Amen. I was extremely blessed by that. Hallelujah. Please stand in as we close then with what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. Sing, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear, and what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So, oh, our peace will often fall. This pain we bear, so all because he knew everything there on earth. Yeah, let's just sing our first verse again. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear, and all our promises to carry, everything to God in prayer. All our peace we often forfeit, all our needless pain we bear. cross we do not carry. Oh, thanks, O God, we bear. Say, have we trials? Trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? So we should never be discouraged. So faithful, whom we all our sorrows share. Jesus loves our weakness. Take it to the Lord in
the next few minutes. I'd just like to say this. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Maybe something's come over your mind, your heart this morning. You need to respond to God. I just encourage you, before you leave this morning, make sure you pray. You respond to God. Tell Him what's on your heart. Speak to Him. And don't put it off for another time. Speak to Him this morning. Before you leave this service, I want to ask this, that as we dismiss the service now, that we leave this room and go into the room where the buffet is, but do it quietly while people in here will continue perhaps to pray for a few more minutes. But I do want to dismiss the meeting now, but please, we're going to continue, some of us, to pray here. And if you want specific prayer, feel free to come forward to the front. Heavenly Father, we thank you then that we've had this time of fellowship with you this morning. We ask, Lord, that you'd continue to speak to our hearts and our minds, that your will be done in and through our lives, now and evermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Just